Good morning. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to listen to our worship service. We are Canoe Camp Church, a joint Christian Disciples of Christ and United Church of Christ congregation. Know that you are loved. A couple of announcements. The Oh My Roof Vendor Fair has been postponed until our social distancing is no longer required. Also, it is with great sadness that I must report that Eleanor, one of the pillars of our church, passed away this week at age 98 and a half. She will be sorely missed. We certainly lift up her family during this time. There will be a memorial service for her once travel restrictions have been lifted and we can congregate once again. I borrowed today's invocation from the United Church of Canada's website. Won't you pray with me? In this time of COVID-19, we pray. When we aren't sure, God, help us be calm. When information comes from all sides, correct and not, help us to discern. When fear makes it hard to breathe and anxiety seems to be the order of the day, slow us down, God. Help us to reach out with our hearts when we can't touch with our hands. Help us to be socially connected when we have to be socially distant. Help us to love as perfectly as we can, knowing that perfect love casts out all fear. For the doctors, we pray. For the nurses, we pray. For the technicians and the janitors and the aides and the caregivers, we pray. For the researchers and theorists, epidemiologists and investigators, for those who are sick and those who are grieving, we pray. For all who are affected all around the world, we pray. For safety, for health, for wholeness. May we feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, and house those without homes. May we walk with those who feel they are alone, and may we do all that we can to heal the sick, in spite of the epidemic, in spite of the fear. Help us, O God, that we might help each other. In the love of the Creator, in the name of the Healer, in the life of the Holy Spirit that is in all and with all, we pray. May it be so. Amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Good morning, everyone. I hope this message finds everyone well. I am finding it a little difficult to get started doing a message with no audience, but I'm looking out my window and I guess I'm speaking to the trees. The title of the message is Eve's Three Sons. I watched the show on trees the other night. It was on PBS. It was a different kind of show on trees. It was about trees or forests or the woods owned by Judy Dench. I'd known her as M on the James Bond movies, but she's done a lot of different work. And she also narrated the show. I learned a lot of things that I never would have known about woods. And as I look out my window to the woods, I am probably not going to think of them as in the same way. It wasn't a lot of science. It was a lot of other things that were different. Let's put it that way. There are more trees on this earth than stars in our galaxy. A healthy tree, a healthy 100-foot tree, has about 200,000 leaves, and it will drink about 11,000 gallons of water from the ground each year and release it into the air again as oxygen or water vapor. Judy brought a lot of various different people who were specialized in various different things. And one of them was a mycologist. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's a person who studies fungi. In a healthy forest, there is fungi, and they hunt out the dead wood. And eventually, they create a network of thread-like filaments all under the floor of the forest. Mushrooms are the fruit of this fungi network. Trees use this network, a thread-like filament, to communicate with each other. I found that to be kind of interesting. I take a walk up the road every occasionally with my dog Bella, and I always thought that the trees were alive, or the forest was alive, and I think there's probably many of you who think the same. As I walk up through my pines, I have been spooked a little bit, even in the middle of the day, because the wind will blow through them and you can almost hear it speak. So I always had a reverence for the forest or the woods, but I certainly didn't understand a lot of things that I have learned from this show. So the forest is a working, healthy, social society of trees. And we also are a working internet or interconnected internet of human social society. We are a social society. We are social people. But we are at this time find ourselves that we can't live as a human social society as we once did. We are communicating through a network of wire-like fibers, optics, thoughts, and prayers, and in ways that we are still learning more about. We don't always know how, like premonitions and what have you, ESP and this type of thing, how it all works, but many of us think that we are connected through a spiritual network of some sort, or a spiritual soul of the human beings. All of the human beings. It's not easy getting through this time. And I know I miss not being able to look out as I deliver this message out over each one of you and see your smiling faces and different expressions that you have. We are a social people. But when it comes also to language, we communicate in different ways. We have verbal, we have written, we have sign language, we have expressions and emotions, and so we communicate in a lot of different modes. We use many non-literal methods. Yes, literal is one of our prime modes, and it is used many times. But a lot of times we use expressions that we don't really mean literally. It's raining cats and dogs and many, many more different types of sayings that we use to express ourselves. But I've always, sometimes I get confused when people don't always say what they mean and mean what they say. So I call it amongst my friends, I have to decipher their hieroglyphics, and then we have to clarify our thoughts. And clarity of thought is very important. But within the clarity of thought, there are many different kinds of modes and methods we use. Some of them that I've wrote down here is similes, metaphors, analogies, personifications, oxymorons, idioms, symbolism, ironies, paradoxes, allusions, and there's probably a few more others. It must be said here that the literal understanding of the Bible is a late day thing. last 100 years or so. I've said that many times in my messages. It's not that we shouldn't understand the Bible literally, but and we should be familiar with the Bible in its literal way. Excuse me. But as I've been traveling and given many messages so far, starting last year, on Genesis, I've been using what I call a spiritual or a non-literal methods. I round it all off into a spiritual understanding of the text. But if I am using these methods in order to understand the Genesis story, then I ask myself, and it must be asked, is there examples of non-literal uses in the Bible that we can use to illustrate what I'm trying to say? And so that's what I want to speak to this morning before I go. And the first example I want to give or use before I start back into Genesis again and start talking about the title is an example that St. Peter uses in order to illustrate baptism. And it's found in 1 Peter 3. Oh, it's somewhere around 13 or somewhere thereabouts. And it depends on where you want to start reading the text. But he says this. We'll start with verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, for the righteous and for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamations to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water. This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. So what Peter is using is the illustration and the story of Noah and Noah's ark and the water and the flood to illustrate that Noah was baptized, or a symbolism of baptism. What is not clear here, and scholars argue, is were the people who were killed in the flood also used in Peter's symbolism to be baptized? That's a hard argument. I mean, it depends on where you stand, whether you believe in universal salvation or the possibility of universal salvation, or if you're a little more believe in God's elect and chosen a type of theology. It depends on whether or not where you stand as to how far and broad you accept this idea. But what I want to point out here is the use of the story of Noah and the flood and the ark and the animals and all that whole story that he uses as a symbolism of Noah's baptism. Me personally, I think that's going out pretty far away from the actual literal story. I'll travel a ways, but this is an example that I think of how far that one can go in using symbolism and the many literary expressions that we use in the language to give understanding to the Bible. Even though I would not probably go quite that far. Also, now I want to go back and I want to talk about Eve's three sons and the symbolism or the spiritual understanding of which I have been using for quite a while, how I have been developing this idea of how to understand the Genesis story in a different way, a more spiritual understanding of it, of an inward expression of ourselves and how we are developed and how we are what the way we are and why we are this way. And Eve had three sons altogether, Cain and Abel and Seth. And as I have said, that these represent different ways of thinking. Cain is looking for the blessing. Abel was living in the blessing. And later, Seth came along as a replacement to Abel. So if I go back to Genesis in the curse, when the woman, who I see as wisdom, it is not female in the way that we traditionally understand it. And it says that to the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to two children. And so, as I've said in previous messages, I see the woman as wisdom, as our helpmate, and not female, the opposite of male. I see it as one of the things that we have. Our helpmate is considered to be wisdom, and it is always depicted as a woman. And here, to giving pains to childbearing, as I have said before, it is that wisdom is going to find it very difficult to bring forth her wisdom into the minds and the hearts of human beings. And so it is a symbolism, or the literary expressions that I have mentioned are used here and applied here in the words of pain in childbearing, very severe, meaning that it is going to be very difficult to change the hearts and minds of human beings, and we know that. And so this is represented in the three sons in which she had. Whether or not these stories are literally true or not is really not important to me. It's nice to know that maybe, you know, some of the Jewish history I can understand when we get later on up into there. But the creation stories and what have you, and a lot of the stories, I'm not really that concerned about whether or not I can prove them to be literally true or not. I want to understand the wisdom and the depth in which these stories speak. And so, again, I'm saying that the three sons represent three different ideas. Now, as time goes on, I'm going to, next Sunday, maybe delve into the idea that Abel's blood cries out from the ground, and develop that a little bit more. Now, what I want to use is another story in the Bible to illustrate that I am probably on the right track. And I'm going to use, as far as Cain and Abel being ways of understanding who we are and how we are. And in John 8, he is talking to the leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, who were the great leaders of the day. And he got into a discussion with them over, because they didn't understand the truth and didn't understand who he was. And he said these words. And he says, if you hold my teaching, you will really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, the leaders and the scribes and the Pharisees that were with him, and whoever was there with him, the leaders of the day, it says to the Jews, he says, they said, well, we were never slaves. We were Abraham's descendants. But Jesus argued with them that if you're a slave of sin, then you are not my disciples. And so you need to be set free. But they went on to argue that they were descendants of the law, descendants of Moses, descendants of Abraham, and thus descendants of Seth, and thus descendants of God. So they never saw themselves as being slaves. They were missing the whole point, in which they have misunderstood what Jesus was trying to say. if you read the whole story, he goes on to say the Jews of the time that he was talking to, he says, Abraham is our father. And Jesus says to them, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. So Abraham was a man, if you read the story, it's a long story, he lived in the blessing. He was a blessed man, and that was part of his story, that God would bless him and that he would make be the father of many nations, and the world would be blessed through one of his seeds. So Abraham lived in the idea of what I call the Abel. He was a person who realized that he was blessed, and he said that many times along the way, even though he wasn't a perfect human being. He was like everybody else, according to the story. He had his moments of doubts and what have you. But he realized, though, that he was blessed amongst his people. So what Jesus was trying to tell them, that they were not living under the eyes and under the way of Abel, or later Seth, that they were still looking for, according to the law, signs and wonders. The Jews, even throughout their history, never realized how blessed they were, and always complained and was always wanted signs and wonders. So in that expression of the story, if you're constantly looking for confirmation of you being blessed, then in a mild way, you are living in the way of Cain. You're outside looking in, trying to always approve God, always trying to ask God to bless you. When you living in the way of Abel, you are blessed. You are living in the blessing. Even in the while you are going through even times like this. Yes, these are trying times when we have to have social distancing from each other. And it's a new way of doing things. We're social people, but we're still blessed. Most of us have food to eat. We have a roof over our head. And we have family and friends that we can communicate. We're not back in times when we don't have the cell phones. We have technology to help us through. We are blessed. I'm a little disturbed when I hear a lot of people complaining. Yes, it is difficult. And yes, we have the right to raise our voices and say, well, we need to change this. We need to do this. And that's not right. And various different things. I'm not saying that we should sit back and just say, oh, I'm blessed and be happy and blissful. There is a way of working within being blessed, but yet still functioning in a human way in which you can right wrongs and you can realize that things are wrong and talk about them. But internally, you are settled in a much more silent a way in which you can go to that place within your heart and your mind, and you have a centeredness in which you operate out of. You realize you are blessed, but yet you still have to deal with the outside world around you. And so you operate out of that calmness and that settledness in your heart, where if you're always discontent, a vagabond as Cain was, a wanderer, never being settled, then you have no centeredness in your heart and in your mind, and you're just a wander around from one thing to the next, and you're never content. You're always looking for contentment. You're always looking for something to satisfy your need and your wants, and that's the way that we are today. We are a very highly commercialized society. We are, in some respects, in a lot of ways, we are duality for sure. I think we have both the Abel and the Cain, but I think we lean in the United States a little more towards the Cain side in a lot of ways because we have such commercialization of everything. It's about consuming and always wanting something more rather than being content. Seems like it takes us a lifetime to figure out towards the end of our lives that, you know, things don't really satisfy us, money don't really satisfy us, even though we need these things and we have to work and provide, and you know, there's a balance between the two. So as I conclude this message, I hope that even in times like these, as we're going to have several weeks, maybe months, that we can't gather together again, that we somehow can communicate in ways and that we didn't normally do, but yet still be satisfied and content and be more of the Abel way of thought, that son of Eve, who, and that whole idea, and help wisdom to come into your heart in a way, give her a helping hand and say, yeah, I'm going to be content. I'm going to, you know, yeah, I'm going to have days that are not real easy, but overall, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to let the news rile me up to the point where I become terribly emotional every day. Yes, we will have times of emotions, and there are many different things that we have to deal with. So my prayer is that as we continue to go through this time, that we can find a time to center ourselves and find peace in the midst of these changing times. Amen. Let us join our hearts and minds together in prayer. Jesus Christ, you travel through towns and villages, curing every disease and illness. Come to our aid now, that we may experience your healing love. Most merciful God, we come to you in our weakness. We come to you in our fear. We come to you with trust. For you alone are our hope. We place before you the disease present in our world. We turn to you in our time of need. Bring wisdom to the doctors. Give understanding to the scientists. Endow caregivers with compassion and generosity. Bring healing to those who are ill. Protect those who are most at risk. Give comfort to those who have lost a loved one. Welcome those who have died into your eternal home. Stabilize our communities. Unite us in our compassion. Remove all fear from our hearts. Fill us with confidence in your care. Jesus, we trust you. Amen, amen, and amen.
Ah.